just tell us about yourself?
Well, I'm an old man, or getting old now. You know, I'm an octogenarian, I can say, or post-octogenarian, and born in Lagos, educated in Lagos, attended school, St. John's Arolaya, and I also attended Ansarudin. After all, I was in the Ibadan Process School for a while, and then also Lucas College in Lagos. And in all these places, I was not a particularly brilliant student, but somehow I managed to leave school and then start sending for myself, looking for something to eat, which I did until God has assisted me to go to this age. I did not even think I would live to this age, but providentially, I am now alive. I was still alive till this moment. I can't tell you the next moment. So, all I can say about, I've been in Lagos, in this country, after a while. I went abroad. When I returned, I worked for the government, the federal government. And after a while, I left the federal government to go for private organization, private sector. Again, it was during the course of my working in the private sector that I got entangled or absorbed, so to say, into public life and public activities. I met some old friends, among them a mutual friend, Prince Olusi, who brought me into partisan politics. Of course, I don't think I've been very bad, or I did very badly. And I'm not retired, but not retired. And I'm still in it somehow. So whatever you like to say about it. And one thing about it is that I got absorbed into Lagos history even before I went into public life. And somehow, I absorbed myself. I'm not an intellectual, so to say, nor an academic. I always claim myself to be a student, and I'm still one. And this interview is part of my study session, which I want people to understand, because I'm learning from you, from everybody. And one thing more, you see, the learning is not finished. And I can say, in all earnestness, that my involvement in the history had brought me opportunities far beyond my own expectation. Contact with people in top places and even responsible offices who have been kind to me and do me a favor by sending me things which I think I don't think I deserve. So, for everyone, I don't want to mention names because I don't want to appear in video in my discussions. So I have achieved much, and I thank people who have contributed to my living my life up till this time. And I have decided to, whatever I gain from public, to put it back into public in the room of this type of interview.
Thank you. Sir, considering the vast knowledge of Lagos, what can you say? What is your perception of identities in Lagos? How are Lagosians identified? Who can we call Lagosians?
Well, you see, Lagos makes its own citizens. Not by having your parents building houses there, not even by resident there temporarily, but it's the attitude of mind, the characters. You see, I like to make a comparison with the U.S. In the U.S., you have African Americans, you have Chinese Americans, you have what have you called, Malay or whatever Americans. You see, all these are Americans by contemporary definition of American citizenship. Well, our own contemporary definition here will be found in section, I think, 14 of our constitution, which says, who is an indigene? An indigene of a place is a man whose parents or grandparents belongs to a community indigenous to that place. So if you are talking of a Isareko now, for example, you must not only be, it is not you. You derive your indigenship, I'm talking of indigenship now, not citizenship, you see, by virtue of your parents, either outside, or grandparents, either. But not only this, they must belong to communities which is indigenous to that area. That is a two or threefold definition. Now take, you are now in part of what we call Brazilian quarters, or in the old map to call it Portuguese town. I've seen Portuguese, you see. Now, the place began to be settled about the 1835 or something like that, when you have the African slaves who participated in revolt in Bahia. They call it their Malay revolt. So the Brazilian authority decided to repatriate those who want to. So these are the origins of the people in this country. They are from what we call Yoruba country, mostly. And some are not even Yoruba, some are Igbo. But when they came here, it was, they approached the Oba, I think the Oba then was, I think it was after the Ojulari. It must be around the time of Oba Adele or so. So they gave them this part of the town. But the gift was not rationalized until the time of King Dosunmu, when the British have totally overran Lagos. And then the people here coming from through their own effort to settle here are settled in this part, because there they find friends, relations who have abandoned the place, and that is how all this area where you have is known as Brazilian quarters. And many of them, though they may have changed their names now to Yoruba names, mostly bear Brazilian names. To the extent that even here, you still have, at that time in the early days, they still speak Portuguese or Brazilian Portuguese language, which has now died out virtually. Well, contemporaneously, you have people who were stopped from being shipped to Brazil or as the New Americans by the British Navy, through the activities of the British Navy, after the abolition of slave trade in 1807. Many of them were offloaded, if I can use that word, or disembarked at a place called, today known as Sierra Leone. And that part of Sierra Leone was known as Freetown. And that was how that place acquired its name, those who are freed from slavery. Several of them were captured. And when they were there, they also speak, schools were built for them. They speak a kind of a crypto English language, which is called Creoles. You see, that is the origin. And then therefore, they themselves form a community. After the Lagos was overrun by the British Navy, and they installed their Oba Akintoye on the throne, then these people begin to come.
From Sierra Leone.
Little by little. And when they came here, they were found quarters from where the supporters and followers of King Kosoko had abandoned in their exodus to Pepe. That is where the area we now call Olowogbowo area, which is known to many people. It wasn't used to be called by that name. It's called in the old map Ofin or something like that. You see, because that was the name. So that is the crux of the people in that. I'm now talking of strictly of Lagos Island now. I've not come to the other part of the Lagos. So those are the quarters of these people, and then they established their own culture there. They are known as Saru, as which you people know, and therefore they are another indigenous community. Because people of my own age or your own age can trace, or belonging to that place, who can trace that their parents or grandparents belong to that community are entitled to be known as Lagosian. We may call it Saru Lagosians or Portuguese or what do you call it?
Eh? Or Brazilian Lagosians.
Brazilian Lagosians. Of course, we have the truly indigenous who had been formed the crust of the community before. They are to be found at Isaleko. In the old map, you find they call Iga quarters. I've seen some of these old maps. So those are the people found who claim to be the indigents of Lagos. We are not denying them of the indigenship, but there is a definition of indigenship status when we come to think of it. But that's not the purpose of this interview. We just want to know those who can call themselves indigenous. Now, this is even important because even in contemporary times, you have people whom I know whose parents in contemporary times have come from a place like Ilorin or what we call Kwara State, who resided there, either in some subservient status. They were born there. They speak the modern Eko Yoruba language. I call it Eko Yoruba. Just as you have Egba Yoruba, or you have Oyo Yoruba, or you have Ijebu Yoruba. You see? So you have Eko Yoruba. They speak it. And that is what you and I speak here when we are left alone to ourselves by non-Lagosians, or even by some Lagosians who cannot speak any other language. So these boys, whose parents cannot claim that status, cannot be, or grandparents, because of the factor which I mentioned to you earlier, the definition in the current status of indigenship and citizenship of Lagos, of any community, for that matter. So you now have a situation where somebody died here, although born here, and then the next thing they carry him to Kwara State for burial. People like that still identify with that place. You cannot claim to indigenship of two places. It's only one. Is that here or not? People like me can't claim anywhere. Even though I know my parents or grandparents may have come from some places, but I choose to identify. That is the factor of identity in Lagos citizenship.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. That was very, very mind-blowing. Sir, and this will take us to another very important question, which is the ownership question. Now, you talked about the exodus of these people from Saro, the free slaves, and other people that have come from other places in Nigeria generally. Now, maybe in the dailies, we have seen a serious tussle between a group of people called Awori and some that are claiming that Lagos actually belongs to the Benins. Now, I think that we should start with this, that who are the Aworis?
Well, you see, if I'm allowed to say this, the Aworis are the hybrid groups which came in the wake of subsequent series of waves of migration to this part of the country, when we are even starting from pre-recorded times. I mentioned to you in our private discussion the name of P. Amory Talbot, who wrote a book, a series of books. It's not a sociologist. I think he's a, I've forgotten his name, anthropologist. I remember reading in it that even before 1450s, the Edo people may not have been cut off from their Kpokpo airways. So in other words, the Atlantic coastline was inhabited by people we can call the Benin people. That is quote and unquote. Because today we know our Benin town, which form part of a state in this country. But today we have what we call Benin Republic, spelled with the same form of what we know. So that is a reminder to us that these people are one, and before begin differentiation or the start of differentiations. Then of course the era of slave trade, which ravished the Atlantic slave coast for over 400 years, mixing people with one another, that it was not even possible to say this is this and this is not. Take Lagos, for instance. I delivered a lecture about a year or two ago to a group of students in Lagos. I called New Vista on Population of Lagos. I still have the text with me. What you have today, you have people whose parents or grandparents were not native Eko or Lagosians. You have Takwa Lagosians, which you and I know very well. You have Ijebu Lagosians. You even have Egba Lagosians. Of course, we need not stress that again. And names of places in this area depicts the impact of the presence of this place, of these people. But it is not gainsaying, it's not against saying that their warriors have left their mark more forcibly than other people. And if I may say so, the Jebus and also the Egons, or the Guns, as they are, or Ogus, as they were called, you see. True place names, even true words in usage at any moment, in addition to to English, which has become virtually our own lingua franca now. In Bishop Crowder was the first person to write a dictionary of Yoruba language. And in the introductory part of the season, when he was first brought to Lagos as a slave, they were speaking a kind of language which had a faint echo of the language spoken in his own Yoruba background. Shows you that there have been adjustment of what we now call our native language by the mixture of other language to which it become current in Lagos today. There was one man, I have the book at me in my house, he wrote it in 1819, Notes on Africa, it's still in my house. I used to have a copy, I bought another copy when I was in Britain, or a reprinted version when I was in Britain. And he was telling me that the people in Lagos are various characters. He was a trader, but a very perceptive slave trader. He made observations. I cannot tell you everything in this kind of a short interview. But what I want to bring is that it is not easy to define who a Lagos is or not. But I said one thing, Lagos creates his own citizens or indigenes. But in modern terms, the law has made it easier for us by telling us an a person that is an indigenous place of a place, either of whose parents or grandparents belongs to one thing, a community, that community indigenous to that area. You can see it's a threefold definition. There was an indigenous community. A person must belong to it. And it's to it or his grandparents. And it is as a result of this that you are a citizen or indigenous of that place. So if an Igbo man comes here today, you cannot say it's not in something. If he can claim that either of his parents or grandparents belongs to a community indigenous to them, of course we know, you and I, that the Igbos were not part of the returnees or the re-immigrants of the people who settled in Lagos, except those who want to come and say, my remote ancestors are Igbos, and those one are few and far between.
I picked something in your response. You said something about their woods, that they are hybrid of many people that came to Lagos at the time. Sir, can we say that does that not mean that there's a lineage problem with their woods? Because if they are actually hybrids, can we say that during the time where Lagos is being formed, was there a people called Awori at that time?
Well, say that again.
Was there a people called Awori during the time Lagos is being developed?
Well, it is not the people who call them by certain name. It is neighboring people who give them identity. Oh, well, of course, the neighbors, oh, these are Igbo. It has a meaning within that, I don't know, you see. Oh, Eko. When we call, let us come back. Eko. Some people, one of your Adelibigwe verses, I say, it may have twofold explanation. A period when it was used as farmland, and when, after the Benin came. The Benin said they were. And I know Egareva, the Benin itself is borrowed from the book of Otumba Payne, in his book, Principal Table of Events in Lagos History, which I still have copies with me. Then he borrowed from the court case in 1918 of the then Obaseki, Chiboba Ego, that's his name. The title was the Prime Minister of Benin. It was called Obaseki. And this man was sent to come and give evidence here during the case of Amadu Tijani versus Secretary of State. It was his interview, which he gave in 1921, that when Egareva was writing his book in 1937, he now copiously just included that in Lagos is called. And the manufacturing story that one of the Oba went to Portugal, when he was coming back, he stopped there, and then he turned it into a war camp, and that's why Eko. No, that was a far-fetched explanation. The easiest and most and easily defensible denomination is Lagos emerged from the word Oko. You see, which depicts the use for which the so-called early Awaris were used to using that place, Oko. And when you call that Oko, you see, early maps of this area. I'm sorry, I didn't bring any reference there. You see, early maps, you see, always indicated that area of Lagos as Kuramo on the maps. My further research tells me that Kuramo is, and is there in the Governor Moloney wrote is something in a dispatch, which a copy, I still have the copy at home. Says, Kuramo, it means Eko Oromi, Eko Oriomi, that Oko on the farm. Eko Oromi, Aromi Salegwelegwe, Ibini Kekere. It was turned into some song. Eko akiti, Eko ili ogbon, Eko akiti, it's like a cap when you are in the stream, when in the river. So the island appear as like a cap. Yes, Eko akiti. And incidentally, that was the name I christened my house at Yanokwaja with, Akiti House. So many people, so as to remind me, or many that there are some people from Ireland, when the place which was formerly called as Akiti. So many people didn't even know my name. They called me Baba Akiti, and I welcomed their description of my Baba Akiti. So Akiti, when I'm saying, Lagos was first used as a farmland, even before the rise of slave trade. Now, our traditional history told us that Aro Mineral was using the place to cultivate pepper. This one must be familiar to anyone. Yes. You see, why pepper and no other produce? At that time, the Dutch were only interested in buying pepper, which they call Malagueta pepper. You see, so the trade then must have been in this pepper, which gave to which the land was devoted to cultivating, and therefore becoming Oko. That is even more defensible than, say, a camp, or which the Benin said, the camp of war. No, see, it cannot be. It was Oko, which we have evidence in published book. They are available. I still have some of these things at home. And there is still even contemporary evidence that today, that a part of Lagos is still called Kurama Waters. It's still there in Etiosa. So that is the evidence that the word Oko must survive as the original name of this one, which become Eko today through the usage. And the people coming from Interland who cannot pronounce the place very well. So see, we are going to Eko. The word is Ko, that is there, which you find in Oko and Eko.
Can be a bit definite to establish the earliest settlers of the place called Lagos now?
Well, I think I go back to what Talbot says. In the remote past, before they recorded, there was no name. But after the intervention, when the British began to come here, then we begin to see this differentiation. You see, at that time, the Benin may not have broken from their Poko Ewe, that is, the people speaking, they are just speaking people, Ajah language. You know, of course, as a sociologist or anthropologist yourself, this word must be familiar to you. It was after the settlers who came, and then the place become more nucleated, I would say, broken into small places, and then you have communities, not large communities as we have. Even on Lagos Island, which you boast of today, as mentioned about the Brazilian community to you, I mentioned about Saleko. There were only three places. Even on the mainland, people of Lagos spread to the place. But basically, the people we now know today as Awori is a nebulous town. They occupy that place. The name, somebody came to me the other day. We were talking, and I carried the argument to my Facebook. Ibutimeta, when I asked her, they were interviewing me like they say, till landing space, and you know. They are worried, there are people who spoke a slurred form of what we call Yoruba language. A slurred form. That is what this Fowler wrote in his something lands in Lagos, a report. I still have it. He was an administrative or was a district officer. Now, their speech form is not as straightforward as we do. They have a slurred form. they tend to twist the thing. When the woman told me, that's the director of a director general of LASTRAB, I told him, no, he came there with the director, he came to my place. Ibutimeta does not mean something. It was the Yoruba who came that twisted it to what it is. And the original place called it is right behind Mainland Hotel, where you have this canoe something, carrying sands or something from the lagoon, discharging some. There used to be a village there called Ata. There's a tree there called Ata.
Tree?
Yes. Ata. Yes. So, when the Awori people are going, they say, we are going to Ebute Imu Ata. Imu means is the word for place. So, the landing wharf, which is at a place situated where Ata is situated. So, Ebute Imu Ata was corrupted to Ebute Meta by the Yoruba. Going further, you find Yaba too. There's no word like Yaba.
Yes,
it was the corruption of Yaba. There used to be a village near where Hoa's Memorial Church is situated or something. So you see, there's an old Yaba road.
Yes,
so before you get to that village, you have to branch away from the main road. So Yaba. So that Yaba becomes Yaba. And that becomes eponymous for all the areas in that locality, Yaba, Yaba. Many people don't know. And several other names like that. When you talk of Mushin, what does it mean? Imu Ishin, a place where Ishin tree grows. And several, Muroko, Mu this. Makoko, and just where I have cause to mention, you see, Imu Akoko, a place where Akoko tree grows. And several other things. So this are a reminder to us that their worries have impacted on the Lagos, on the development of Lagos and the history of Lagos. So totally that you cannot efface their presence or even a remote claim. But then it will be vulgar to say we own the, who are we? Who are their worries? You see, we want to know, are they the people whose parents came from other places and caught her there, called themselves Awori, or just their worry, the ability to speak an inflected form of Yoruba language called Awori language? So this one has to be explained. And rather, I want to say, Lagos and create its own citizens, its own indigenes. Today, we have been influenced by our acquisition of Western knowledge, the English in particular. Once you reduce Yoruba language into writing, then you create a form of language in itself. And that is what we are now speaking here. We are speaking what I can call, want of better, English Yoruba, or Yoruba English, you see. Because it was Bishop Crowther and his men who decided to form, and then they set up schools. Once they set up school, they urged our great grandparents to send our parents to schools. And in schools, since they were taught in that thing, they all acquired this thing. And in course of time, it becomes what we call our own language. So you can see how dialectical language can see and even define people. A white man who speaks English language now, his parents, or he may be a Dutchman, he may be anywhere from the continent. An Englishman can speak French language even with far greater efficiency than depends on their access to this knowledge. So to me, I don't think we need to work on this thing so much, but except that those who want to know have a right to know. And as much as possible, we have a duty to explain our knowledge.
finding it so difficult to, just as you also said, we are finding it difficult to state categorically the winners of this play called Lagos.
Excuse me, before, let me just interject you. When we are talking of ownership, are we talking of the land or the people or what? Or the sovereignty of the people? Because that's another thing we have not the ownership. People, they speak of ownership in loose term. Lagos belong to the people of Lagos. And it is this segment or this aspect of is what to me Lagos belong to people of Lagos.
What about the people that said, okay, we got here first?
Yes, the Yoruba people have seen that any Abalaba ni Baba. So people who came in terms of longevity of tenure, then can be regarded.
Yes, yes.
But who are these people? So that is why I say Lagos creates his own indigenous, his own people. Even it's not purely physical, it is even psychological. If I believe I'm a Lagosian, there's nothing to say, tell me I'm not. Even though you may see my father is an Igbo, okay. As an indigenous, you must be seen to identify with the institutions of that place. Because it's simple. The institutions don't die. People may die. But identity with some of the institutions or the critical institution of the society can also be termed another form of identifying who a Lagosian is.
Baba, the institutions in this Lagos, for instance, the royalty, the kingship, the chieftaincy structure, and so many other monuments that we can find on the island of Lagos. Mm-hmm. If you look at them, can't we use these things to decide who were in control of this Lagos before? Because if you look at, for instance, if you look at the obership structure, the obership ritual, and all other chieftaincy titles, they have identities.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
Which is also bearing out what I've said. You see, these things develop over time, not just once and for all. Like the 7-day creation of the world, you see. Now, these things develop. When you have a community, that community develop its institution. And don't forget our definition. A person is an indigenous, either of whose parents or grandparents belongs to a community indigenous to that place. So that community must be indigenous. What is the length of time you have to become to describe as indigenous? That is one thing. And then the people themselves. So these societies develop institutions in the course of time. Our identity with these institutions can also be used as a yardstick or measuring rod of our indigenship.
Yes,
now you mentioned obership.
Yes.
You mentioned, okay, yes, but obership and the chieftaincy are not the only measuring stone. There are others. What about the cults?
Yes, sir. Cult, exactly.
You see, I mentioned that just to remind you. What about the trade? The trade connections. These are institutions. Even from time immemorial, there have been, even, you know, don't let me use this example. People are reminded of from the time of Oba Akinshimoyin, you have encouraged trade between the Jebu and Lagos. It is there in the Igbe Song of Lagosians. So you can say that foreign trade encouraged the coming together of the people. Many Ijebu people settled there. Once they settle here, they bring their own culture along. Talk of Eyo, talk of Usha, Ologere. If I tell you that, in spite of all the myths there, Ologere came from Ikorodu, And I know the family in Nomoriri, even though some people say no, they find me to explain these things. Even talk of the other one, partner of which one I mentioned, Ologa. No, the one before, not Okolaba, I'll tell you about Okolaba. Oniko. If I tell you, you see Songweto masquerade in Badagry, Abi. If I tell you that that thing came from that area, you say no. They will explain it. The one woman, we have been with this. We are many of them. Don't know. They just fabricate a story, and then they seek to legalize it by writing it down. Even talk of a collabo. You say Dioba, no. But if you look at it, it began from Ojoni, who came from Isen. Yes. I was the first person, Okolaba, he come from a village called Okolaba in Isen. I've carried my research to these places. And the Oba took it over. They became the guardians or the wardens of there or something. And even when you talk of Oshoko, well, there are stories, there are so many. So it is, as I said, identifying with these institutions can make you claim or recognize as a Lagosian. Perhaps this is what you are paying me back under the compliments by coming to me here, you see. Because if you don't feel like that, you will come, if I come from the people with marks on my face, you see, you will not, except if I were born here by parents who were also born here, or grandparents, then I can know through them. I just mentioned to you that you're coming here now just is an acknowledgement that you must be able to identify with the institutions.
Yes,
the religious, the cultural, the tradition, the economy, you see. And what have you again? I mentioned the Quran. All these are institutions of society from which you cannot divorce yourself if you are to claim the status. There are even borrowing from Lagos by their worry. You have a relu here, the Ajebu have a relu too. For who lend one to the other? Is it the Ajebu lend a relu to Lagos or Lagos lend a relu to? So when you look at all this, you can add the whole thing is in a fluid status.
Yes, sir. Baba, please, sir. We are not going to shy away from the fact that there is a kind of tension, historical tension, so to say, historical tension. Do you think this historical tension in Lagos, do you think it has any implication on the evolution of Lagos? Because we have said this rightly, that Lagos creates its own people. Now, this historical tension, sir, do you think there can be any kind of implication that can arise from this?
You see, these are exploitation by politicians of factors which need not influence the growth of a place. All these things were being raised for political reasons. Look, what good does it make to me that I am the owner of Lagos or the Awori Lagos? Why? They want perhaps some advantage over others who can say they are not something. Of course, you say the Benin, and okay, all right. Am I carrying? Let me tell you, I'm wearing Benin blood in my veins. And it's not an exaggeration. My paternal grandparents came from what was the other place? Those are Iwere Koni areas. Abijo and then Awuyaya. My paternal grandmother used to tell me, that they are from Benin. Wow. And if you read the history of the place, they will to tell you the same thing. It is only when one of the king went and married one Igbo princess, daughter, and a son, who was named Oyemade, and then he became one Onibeju.
Yes.
Why am I? What?
You are very concerned. I know
about Oyemade. You see, it even has dates, and there are even you see, these are factors. I'm just mentioning to me. Now, what am I to call myself? I told you the background. But here we are today. So unless we don't overemphasize the factor of ownership, this is something, we are going to lose out in the end and create unnecessary tension. She, the Benin, who are in that place now, who has never been to Lagos here, you see, or the Awori, whose origin themselves are so nebulous to themselves. Many of them I know. I mentioned some of our friends. I don't want to mention it on the screen. Who claim to be Awori. They can even speak that slow form of something. But you find them, they came from another place. The place where I stay at my something, were found, the original settlers there were from Yewa. They call it, I've forgotten what they call the name of the area. They are the one who founded there. It's a quarter of what? Of Agege, of all places. And the people from Agege are supposed to have come from Ota themselves, according to their own history. And you have quarter, you have even monuments, sites, which certify that the people originate from that places or founded those places. So these are some of the factors. You see, because of the contemporary politics, people have been finding the Awori has Lagos, the Benin has Lagos. Okay, it's only good for, but does it prevent political action from being taken? No. What you know today is that Lagos was jointly founded by the Aworis and the Benins, Edo, from their culture, from their history, from everything. So no one group can say that, no.
The original, yeah. Soul.
Neither the Aworis nor the Benin, everyone is there. You talk of chieftaincy, you find it too. You find term of royalty, you find it too. You talk of even non-material institutions, the cults, all those things. Yes. So it is not enough to say that they are always only Lagos or the. No, they are all owners of Lagos. Well, the people from Iloki have said it. Emakwewala lejomo.
But they also
say
that.
Well, of course, I'm not that. Yes, yes. That is a riposte to the claim that first of all, they say Isaleko. They don't say Eko.
Okay.
They say Isaleko. We alter that for them in one of the records by this lefty son. Ilu Eko Amorawa. When is Alekos know that means they don't know, they have nothing to do with Olugbo. They have nothing to do with Brazilian. They have nothing to do with Lafayette. And what is Lafayette? Who are the original settlers? Lafayette. The Lafayette is a Takpa word. Yes. And that compound called Salu Court. Alpha Salu, that is what is called, where it's called Lafayette compound. It's there in the old maps if you want to see it. You see. So it is quite a specious explanation to say, no, we should not be emphasizing it is their worry or something. It gives joy to people from who have never visited Lagos Island to say, we, they are worried. Who are you? Tell us your antecedent as a worry. It's false for and my father is something, my grandmother is something.
Well, we are so, so grateful for your time, sir. Thank you so very much. We know you cannot exhaust this topic.
I know.
So, come November, by the grace of God, we'll bring you to the University of
Lagos. Yes, yes.
Where we have the larger platform.
Yes, good. I'll be very pleased to discuss with your professors,
yes, sir,
who are supposed to know more about these things.
Exactly.
You see? No, I'm ready because I've been doing this intellectual battle with some of them before, and we agree at the end of it that there's no need. Eko mora won, atonuniwa won mo. And you see, by using that is a psychological identity. Thomas Okwa atonuniwa. I'm not atonuniwa. Now, not my parents. So, I'm not. But they are only one more. And they are more than the indigents. And that is the irony of the present
more
situation.
Exactly, eh? I think you have even said it when you said that some people, when they die, they still take their corpses back.
Yes.
Back home, back to
yes.
somewhere.
Yes.
And you can't claim indigenship to two different places.
Uh-huh.
So, I think you have actually nailed it by saying
yes.
That.
You either are for Lagos or not for Lagos. So, there is no midway. That's not middle of the way. You're either one or the other. You're either an anthropologist or a student. But sometimes you can have a mix of the two together. Anthropological history. The history of anthropology. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And I'm sorry I could not. I brought you here and you are even here before me. It's a pity. It's of course due to the transport on the road, particularly at this time of the year. So.